have, it's sort of expected. Oh, they haven't come in. That's the point.
I thought that's why you were saying
it. I guess it's just hard to get that makeup on. I don't know. Feminists would say.
Well, I've seen some boys wear a whole lot more makeup than we do.
Well, I see somebody coming in. They got 1 minute. You know, you see them on TV on these shows, they go. I used to do commercials for a car dealership, and I remember them. You know, they give you the 5-second countdown. Boy, I'm standing there, I'm thinking, okay, now what was I going to say? All right, we can finally start. Just think how much more money could have been loaned out at the bank. Oh, she's my girl. She's my girl. All right, it's good to see everyone. And for those who maybe it's your first time, we're in the book of Galatians. And we're dealing with a problem at the church of Galatia. Now, what was the problem? And what caused that? Well, the Judaizers had come down from Jerusalem, and they had begun to preach and teach a different gospel, which they said was the same gospel, which Paul said is not the same gospel. Because their gospel said, yeah, Christ is good. But you have to keep the law, and you have to be circumcised. And we have tried to make the point as best we could that Christ doesn't need any help to save you. He's all you'll ever need, period. So if you'll recall, we ended chapter 4 last week, and chapter 5 begins by saying, stand fast. Now, my good friend Jimmy, he would understand what that means. He's a carpenter. He's a multi-tasked person, but he does some carpentry work. And he has this, you know, they don't use hammers anymore. I've noticed they got lazy. They got a gun. And they don't load it with bullets. I mean, how in the world can I teach if I've got an echo? But they load it with nails. And you know what that gun does? It fastens that board. That board, therefore, is not going to move. Paul is saying, why do you want to move? Christ hath made you free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. And we said last week, I think I had you hold your hand up if you were free, if you had liberty, and I think everyone did, and that's wonderful. Well, they didn't get that from anywhere else. They didn't get that from anyone else but Christ. If you're free this morning, you're not free on your own efforts. You're not free by anything you do. You do what you do because you're free. You live how you live because you're free. Free from what? Free from sin, its punishment, its penalty, It's what?
Death.
No, it's power. What about sin are you not free from? Let me, maybe I'll do, it's a question. You know, it's got this question mark behind it, and that means, you know, an answer is forthcoming. What about sin are you not free from?
Accountability.
Well, no, that's under the punishment and, you know, and the penalty. Huh? Well, no, that's, the flesh ain't free from anything. It's, huh? I'm sorry.
Temptation.
Well, you know, you're sort of, you know, in there close. Its presence. You might be free from its power. You might be free from its punishment. But as long as you're here in that flesh you're in, it's present. And that's why Romans 7 is Romans 7. He says, boy, I do what I don't want to do. I don't do what I want to do. And who shall deliver me from this? You said it.
Death.
But what was his answer? I thank God that Christ Jesus. See, Christ is the answer to everything. And one day, now you may not believe it, because it's sometimes it's easy to be in the flesh. And you remember what the disciples said, Lord, we believe. What'd they say, Gene?
Help us with our unbelief.
You know, sometimes it's hard to see all the sin that's present in this world. Man, and you think, oh, God, I don't know if we're ever going to be free of this or not. Oh, yes, you will. Yes, you will. Because, you see, that comes when our body is redeemed. That comes when creation is redeemed. Right now, all that's redeemed is your soul. And that's the new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And if you look at that word new, it's the same word that he uses over in Revelations where he says, behold, I make all things new. A new heaven and a new earth. And if it's new, it's free of
sin.
Ah, you got it now. But not till we get there. Not till we get there. So he says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with a yoke. Now, we got any farmers in here? Got anybody that's ever worked with horses in front of a plow? You was behind the plow. None? Well, I tell you what, we've really moved in this life, haven't we? You know, used to, I'd say when Gene started first preaching, I'd say if he said that, there'd be about 10 hands go up. Yeah, I still use them. You know, well, you yoke them together. Why do you yoke them together? So they work together. Well, what he's saying is, don't work again with the law. Don't be yoked with the law, because it just puts you in bondage. Well, if you're in bondage, then you're not free. And if you're free, you're not in. You see, they can't go together. Anybody ever tried to mix water and oil?
Doesn't work.
Now, Joe, you just didn't stir it enough.
No matter whether you stir
If you stir it real good, that means the oil begins to separate. It doesn't matter how much you stir it. They don't mix. They're of different weights. They don't mix. Let me tell you something. The law and grace, you can stir all you want to. When you stop stirring, they won't mix. And that's what Paul is trying to get them to see. You can't add something to grace. You can't add something to faith. Now, what have we said about faith that is so critical to this point that we're at right now? You remember, I gave you, y'all don't remember anything. No, that's obey. But at least you're trying, honey. I'll give you credit for trying. Remember, I told you faith. Thank you. Thank you. And what else? The finished work of Christ. And it. So if I say 2 + 2 is, and you're afraid to answer, well, I'm going to say 4, but what if I'm wrong? Yeah. So you see, what it's saying is this, for by grace through faith. Okay, let's stop right there. Whose grace is it? It's God's grace. For by God's grace, so we can say it that way, right? Through whose faith is it? Huh? It's God's faith. So by God's grace, through God's faith, are you saved? And that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. Now, when you hear the gospel, you are lost, hypothetically. When a lost person hears the gospel, what is the only response that they can make? It's either a positive or a negative. I'll give you that. So when you hear the gospel, you have one response, positive or negative, right? Well, what is that? Brother, you get an A. You either believe it or you don't. Now, once you believe it, remember that Philip was sent down to the eunuch, remember? He was down there and he was reading Isaiah. Remember that? And the Spirit took old Philip. Boy, wouldn't you? You know, that gives you an idea what it's going to be like when we get out of here. I mean, you know, Philip was here, all of a sudden he's there. Did you know one day, bless God, you're going to be here, and all of a sudden you're going to be there, Joe? Yeah. In the twinkling of an eye, you're going to be gone. Why? Because the Spirit's going to do it. Mm-hmm. And so Philip went down and he says, do you believe what you're reading? He says, how can I? Except some man teach me. And it says, and Philip began, and he taught him. And they move along, and what was the eunuch's request? He says, there's water. Will you baptize me? And Philip said, yeah, come on, son, let's go. No, he didn't. No, he says, if thou believest with all your heart. See, that's the response. Because once you believe with all your heart, God takes over. You're done. That's all he's ever asked anyone to do. With all your heart, believe him. Believe him what? Now, what do you have to believe? What does the gospel say? What is the gospel about? Well, Paul says it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Now, so if that's what you believe about God, then you have to ask yourself about you. Why did he die? Oh, for me. Why was he buried? Oh, for me. Why was he resurrected? Oh, for me. So then you believe what God says about himself. He's holy, he's righteous. And then you believe God about what he says about you. You're unholy and you're unrighteous. But I sent my son to change that. For this cause came he into the world to what? Save sinners. So once you believe God, God takes over. Now, maybe that's too easy for some people, but it's freedom for me. It's liberty for me. See, I'm no longer in charge. The Bible says I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ in me. God does it. Well, who wouldn't want God doing it for you?
Amen.
You know, there's this saying, if you want something done right, get a woman to do it.
Amen.
See, I knew that. I can get amen quick. I can get amen quick right there. Well, I say this. If you want something done right, get God to do it.
Amen.
And if you get right with God, by God, you'll be right for eternity. Because he says, for I am the Lord, and I change not. Well, if he doesn't change, his work doesn't change. And if you're created in Christ Jesus, and that's in God, by the way, mm-hmm. Guess who ain't going to change? You ain't going to change. Oh, you're going to be in this body. You're going to be in this flesh. You're going to have that. I've talked about it. Listen, or better check up on yourself. Because if the flesh has dominance over you, you better check up on yourself. You better do it. Because I'm just telling you, grace and law don't mix. So he says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. For he says, I say unto everyone that is circumcised, Christ shall profit you. Now I want you to think of two words this morning. I want you to think of nothing and useless. Men, has your wife ever said to you, you're useless? Well, let me tell you something. If they haven't said it to you, they've thought it. My little bride, God love its heart, 55 years. I can't fix anything. I'm useless. But you know what she tells people? Oh, he might not can fix it himself, but he'll get it fixed. Won't I, Jimmy? I mean, listen, I've got people in my phone on speed dial for a reason. I can't fix things. I am useless. Yes, I am. I mean, listen, if the commode tears up and you can't fix it, you're useless. You're no benefit. You profit at nothing. Well, what he's saying is, if you're going to, and he's not talking about a physical circumcision here, folks. He's saying, if you're going to rely on a religious ceremony to save you, Christ can't help you. Christ is no profit to you. Now that's where he's trying to get them to see the difference between the law and grace. Grace circumcises you in the heart. And what that means is it cuts away the old. What he's trying to get them to see is, look, you believed the gospel when I preached it to you. And here comes these quacks from Jerusalem, telling you that you have to keep the law and be circumcised in order to be saved. That's their exact words. Go back and read it in Acts. That's their exact words. Well, it's a lie. Just like a lot of other gospels that you hear going around. Christ and Christ alone. Now, he goes on to say, now listen, not only does he not profit you anything, but I say unto every man that is circumcised. Now he's talking about outward circumcision there. That he is debtor to do the whole. No, see, yeah, that word whole there is there for a reason, because it means every jot and every tittle. And if you miss one, bless God, you've missed them all. Now, see, they had the idea. I'm going to give you this. They had the idea that it was physical actions. In other words, where the law said, thou shalt not commit adultery. They had in their minds that what was meant there and what was right was that if a man were to commit adultery with a woman, or vice versa, a woman with a man, that they broke that law. But Jesus said, now wait a minute, you've heard it said, but now you're going to hear what I say. I say that if a man looks on a woman with lust in his heart, he's committed adultery. That's a far different standard, my friend. Because I'm telling you right now, there ain't a man ever lived in this world that ain't had that thought. And I dare say there ain't a woman in this world ain't had that thought, because it's just in you. I know that's not good language, in you. That's how we talked in Irwin. Because we are born with a depraved heart. How can a depraved person keep a holy law? And that's why he's already said, listen, the law wasn't so you could keep it. The law was to show you you can't. The law was to be a mirror, a mirror. You were to look into the mirror and hope you would see that you saw a lawbreaker and say, listen, I can't do that. And it would take you to Christ. That's why he says it's a schoolmaster, drawing you to Christ. Why? Because Christ is the only answer. Christ is the only way out of your depravity. That's why he says, when you're saved, that you're a new creature in Christ. Old things have... That's the depravity, my friend. Now you say, but Tom, boy, sometimes I see this good-looking girl.
Don't go there.
Oh, I got to go there, brother, because we're in this.
That's what I'm telling myself. Don't go there.
Now, what separates a saved person from an unsaved person when they both have the same issue? When they both say, oh, boy, there's a good-looking girl.
Christ.
Huh?
Christ.
Well, one has a regulator. The other one runs without it.
That's right.
Because as soon as I'll just use me. I won't offend anybody. I've offended myself many a time. When I do it, you say, Tom, you do it? No. Last time I checked, I'm still in this body. But the difference between Tom Foster of now and Tom Foster of February 82, he might have acted on it. But now, as soon as it happens, boy, they sent me in here, says, hey, what's wrong with you?
Exactly.
And you know what I say? Oh, God help me, I don't want that. That's not me. I don't want to think like that. I don't want to act like that. That's the difference. Why do you think he put the Holy Spirit in you? Well, we're going to see. Well, I keep you straight. That's pretty good. Keep you straight. So he says, now we're going to come to this verse. And look, you may have heard this verse taught over the years different ways. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I'm going to teach it how I've been given it. And so I'll leave that up to you. Christ is become of... That word, it's one word in the Greek. It means useless. If it's useless, it's no benefit. If it's useless, it can't help you. He says, Christ is become useless unto you. Unto you? Unto me? No, no. He's become useless unto you whosoever. Not everyone, just the whosoever's. Whosoever of you are justified by the... Now, I don't know about you, but I see a problem there. Does anyone else see a problem? Huh? Well, then isn't there a problem? He says a Christ is useless unto you who are justified by the law. Well, he's already said by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. So what he's talking about here, he says, listen, if you're going to depend on the law, if you're going to be saved by your own efforts, Christ is useless to you because you're not depending on him. If you're not depending on him, it's because you have no faith. And if you have no faith, it's because you didn't believe him to start with. You see, I'm telling you, the first 5 years of my marriage, we were in divorce court 5 times. I'm trying to make a serious point here. Every single time that we had trouble, guess where I was? Oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Lord, save me. Forgive me. And as soon as my little wife and I straightened it out, back to the world I went. That's why a good friend of mine, when I told him I got saved down in Florida, he bet everybody in 6 months I'd be right back. Because that had been the way it was with me. I'd make professions. And they wasn't worth 5 cents. Well, some of these people evidently have made professions that wasn't worth 5 cents because they were believing the Judaizers. Now, I'm going to prove that to you in just a second. I don't make this stuff up. I do my... Hey, what do you think I do or don't? I do my homework. The dog ain't eat my homework. I don't say that braggadociously. I take this so serious. My prayer every morning and this morning was, oh God, don't let me say anything of my own that would hurt somebody, that would lead them the wrong way. So I take this very seriously. And I put the time in. But then I depend on God to give it. So here's what he says. He says, ye are fallen... He's not talking about a saved person that's lost their salvation there. Because he's talking to those who think that they're saved by the law. He says, you whosoever are justified by the law. Well, as you said, that's no one. But it's what they think. And if you think that, he says, you've removed yourself from grace. How are you going to get saved? If you don't want the grace of God, you ain't going to get saved. Because it's only God's grace that's going to save you. And that's what he's talking about. You've removed yourself from the only thing that can save you, and that's God's grace. So then he goes on to say this. For we, now notice how he changes the, you have to watch these pronouns. Now he's going from you whosoever to we. And he ain't including them with him. I'll show you he's not. He says, for we through the Well, the Christ is, you know, sometimes we don't understand. No, I shouldn't say we don't understand. Sometimes it's difficult for us to understand this. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, who are we talking about?
The Lord, the Creator.
Huh? Christ. Because, see, I've already read to you in chapter 4 where he says that he sent into us the Spirit of his Son. Remember, Jesus said, it's needful that I go away. For if I go away, the Father will send, no, A-N-O-T-H-E-R, another. And if you look that word up in the Greek, remember I gave you that, about if I ask you to give me a Bible, and I use the word alias, and it has to be exactly identical, without I mean, you can't miss anything. Well, that's the same word he uses there. He says, if I go away, the Father will send another just like me. That's why he says God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, meaning Father. The only reason you can call God Father is because Jesus Christ's Spirit is in you. And he only comes in you by the grace of God. Amen. Nothing you'll ever do will cause Christ to say, well, you've got 8 out of 10, right? I'll move in. No, it don't work that way. And he says, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by, now give the, we're going to insert there. It helps you to understand. So I'm going to insert it for you. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's all. Hey, I'm not counting on anything else. I'm not counting on my church attendance. I'm not counting on my Bible reading. I'm not counting on my prayer life. I'm not counting on my witnessing. I'm not counting on anything. I'm counting on Christ. And you know what happens? I'll give you a good example. I went out to the VA. Had a test out there that day. And so I got in the elevator. And I was supposed to go to the ground floor. Well, I pushed the G. You know, G's for ground, brother, in case you're ever out there. And I pushed the G. Well, I'm just standing there. And my wife will tell you, hey, I don't have a clue where I'm at half the time. I've got 30330 syndrome. And so the door opens and here's this man and her husband, or this woman and her husband. She was pushing him in a wheelchair. And I looked, and it was the second floor. And I said, well, I was wanting to go to the ground floor. I said, come on in, folks. They came in, and I said, how y'all doing? Oh, we're doing good. I said, you know, I was supposed to go to the ground floor, but the Lord sent me up here to the second floor. Do you know the Lord? Boy, they got the biggest smile on their face. And that woman said, oh, yes, we do. I said, you know, that's all it's going to count. And so, anyway, they got off, and I went back to the ground floor. Well, as I was leaving the ground floor, coming, trying to find my way to the elevator, I got lost. Easy for me to do. So this nice little nurse out there, she walked by. I said, ma'am, I'm lost. I said, I'm trying to get back to the elevator. She said, well, I'm going that way. Come on. And she said, I'm going up. I said, oh, praise the Lord. And I was serious. I said, boy, me too. I mean, that just, hey, remember we were talking, you know, listen, all you got to do is listen and won't.
Yes, right.
And I said, you know, I'm going up too, and I'm so glad you are. Do you know the Lord? She said, oh, yes. I said, so we're going up together, aren't we? Not just on the elevator. So I got to talk to her. Well, I went on over to another place. And you know what happened? I got to talk to them. You say, Tom, now you're bragging on yourself. No, I'm bragging on the Lord. See, Christ in me is the hope of glory. That's what he's saying. It's the Spirit in us that know Christ by faith. It's the Spirit in us that lets us know that we're right and that we've got a hope, an assurance, a certainty of a future. And that's what he's talking about. And so he goes on and he says this, for in Jesus Christ, well, that's positional salvation, by the way. There's nothing else you can say about that. For in Jesus Christ, which means out of Jesus Christ, this doesn't apply. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. In other words, you can't say, well, I'm going to get circumcised, that'll help me. And then this guy over here says, well, I don't believe in that. I'm not getting circumcised. Well, neither one's going to help you. He says, neither one avails anything. But what? No, now read it the way we're reading it. It'll help you. But the finished work of Christ, which worketh by love, will. Because it gives you the understanding that no one nor nothing other than Christ and his finished work, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension to the right hand of the Father, nothing else will help you. And you can rely on being goody good all you want to. You can rely on coming to church 10 times a week. You can rely on whatever you want to. It's not worth a dime. When you take that last breath, you'll realize it, unfortunately. So he goes on and says this, you did run well. Who hindereth you that you should not
obey?
Go ahead now, you can give it to them, honey.
Obey the truth.
No, you can give them four words you was going to give earlier. See, now you're off key, aren't you? Rely, persuade, convinced, and believe. Okay. I got to get one thing. This is hard work. But I love it. Should not obey the truth. Here he comes now. Here he comes. This persuasion cometh not of... Well, take that pronoun out and put God right there. What he's saying is, God didn't tell you this. Them Judaizers might have come down and told you they represent God, but God didn't tell you this. God didn't tell you to keep the law. God told you to believe in his son. What did he say? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. John says, behold the Lamb of God that what? Taketh away the sins of the world. Believe that. He that believeth in me, though he die, shall never perish. And then he says this, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now, leaven in the Bible, it can be good or it can be bad. In most cases, it refers to either one of two things in a negative sense. What'd you say?
Sin.
Okay, well, say it loud enough so they can hear it.
Sin.
Okay, you're going to teach. It refers to sin or to false doctrine. And that's what he's talking about here, because that's what he's talked about from chapter 1 on. The Judaizers. They're false. And he says, let me tell you something. just a tiny bit of that. And that's why I'm so adamant about this congregation here. I can't be at, I can't watch over other congregations. I'm not there. Somebody else will have to do that. But here, you better believe I'll listen to everything that is said. And if my uncle over here preached one thing in that pulpit contrary to that Bible right there, you better believe I'm going to call him on it. Because the least little bit. Whew! That's what happened here. They came down there and they had them another gospel, which there was not another. It was just a false one. And they said, well, now, you got it. And some of them started believing it. And the next thing you know, a few more believed it. And if you don't think it's serious, I'm going to demonstrate to you how serious God thinks it and how serious Paul thought it. I have confidence in you. Did you see how he changed that? He went from the false teachers. He says, but now listen, I've got confidence in you through the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise. You remember how we started this whole thing in Galatians? You remember a verse that I gave you in John? That was the first thing we covered, because it's the most critical thing there is to this understanding. What was that? Well, you see, if you don't remember that, you won't remember the most critical thing. Where it's at doesn't matter. It's what it says. My sheep hear my voice, and a hireling,
they will not follow.
They won't follow. That's why Paul says, I've got confidence in you through the Lord that you won't be that minded, that you're going to hear God's message to you, that what they're telling you is damnable, that what they're telling you is wrong, that what they're telling you, you don't need something other than Christ. You don't need someone other than Christ. And if you belong to Christ, you're going to believe it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't belong to Christ, you're not going to believe it. That's what he's saying. I've got confidence in you through the Lord. Not in himself.
No.
Why did he say in the Lord? Why is his confidence in the Lord? Well, where was the Lord? If they were saved, where was the Lord? Inside them. And if Christ is inside you, and somebody comes in and tells you something other than the gospel, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's going to be knocking on your door, and you're going to listen, and you're going to get away from it. And if you won't get away from it, you were never his. I won't back up from that. I won't apologize for that. If you can prove anything different to me, I'll listen. But I'm just telling you, if Christ is in you, he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. But he says, I chasten my own. If you don't think God will get the belt to you, you just try to go your own way. God takes very serious about his children. He don't care about the other children. They're not his children. Now, he cares about the world. He died for them. But his children? Oh, did you care about your children?
Absolutely.
I mean, you don't go over and whip your neighbor's child, do you? Well, in this day and age, you can't whip anybody. I wish I'd told my dad that a little earlier. I said, God, I tell you what, I had some whelps on me, didn't go away for a month. But you know what? I knew whose child it was. And he knew whose child I was. And he wasn't going to let me just do whatever I wanted to me. Well, if that's true with a human father, do you not think that's true with the Heavenly Father? Do you think he's not going to take you to the woodshed? Well, then you've never been to the woodshed. I've been to the woodshed. I don't care. Listen, I'll confess. I've been to God's woodshed. And you know what? It's no fun. My wife, she says her mother never whipped her. Which I understand that. My wife's perfect. But But she said what hurt her the most was not a whipping, but when her mother would say, now, Brenda, she knew she was wrong. You know, sometimes just a word from your parent, you understand you're wrong. God's not going to leave his children, folks, unprotected, unguarded. He loves you. Oh, he loves you so much. But he loves you enough to punish you when you need it. He loves you enough to chasten you when you need it. Now, if he's not chastening you, you might be a bastard. I realize that's, in today's language, that's a curse word. It's in the Bible. It means you're not his. That's what it means. Okay, now moving on. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his whosoever he be. Paul don't know who it is. Paul's writing a letter from somewhere else. But what he does know is who is there. Paul's not there. Paul can't see who they are. But you know who what he does know? He knows the one that is there. That sees it all. That knows it all. That hears it all. God's there. You know, sometimes we ought to take that a little more serious. We think because somebody else don't see what we're doing. Well, nobody going to know this. Oh, God knows. Boy, we ought to live like that too. Isn't that what he said in Peter? Knowing what's going to happen, that the world's going to melt with fervent heat, he says, what kind of people ought you to be in all manner of living? It helps us to know that God's watching us. God's with us. So he says, but now they're going to pay for it. And then this, if you don't think he thought this was, I believe you got, I don't know. I better not say that. It's serious with him. And here's what he says. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to be a little graphic. That's okay because it's graphic. If you read it, it's graphic. You know what he says? He said, listen, them people that's teaching you this nonsense, I wish it just wasn't the foreskin they cut off. I wish they'd cut it all off. That's how serious he thought it, folks. That's how serious he thought it. He was angry. He was angry that someone would come in and try to draw all these people away with a false teaching. Let me tell you something. If we hear something false out of that pulpit up there, we better get angry. We ought to be angry. Because this is all that counts. This is all that can save someone. If someone comes in here and they're lost, we don't have anything else but this that'll save them. We can't come up with anything other than Christ that can save them. It's that serious. It was serious to him. And he says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. In other words, he says this. Listen, just because you have liberty in Christ, you can't go out here and live any old way to the flesh you want to. I know people that believe that. Yes, I do. I know people that believe that. They believe that they have made a profession and how they live doesn't matter. They believe in Christ. Well, I'm telling you what he says. He says, just because you've got liberty, don't count it as an occasion to give in to the flesh. We should never give in to the flesh because the flesh is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So why would we give in to something that is totally against God? Now I got to quit, so I'm going to do one more. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Now, notice what he says here. He says one word, but he doesn't use one word. He says, for the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Is that one word? No. Yes, it is. Thou shalt love. See you.